This is a page-to-page recording. No part of this recording may be reproduced in any form or by any electronic or mechanical means, including information storage and retrieval systems, without written permission from the publisher. Tom Sawyer, Detective, by Mark Twain. Narrated by Lee Howard. Chapter 1. An Invitation for Tom and Huck. Note. Strange as the incidents of this story are, they are not inventions, but facts, even to the public confession of the accused. I take them from an old-time Swedish criminal trial, change the actors, and transfer the scenes to America. I have added some details, but only a couple of them are important ones. M.T. Well, it was the next spring after me and Tom set our old nigger Jim free. The time he was chained up for a runaway slave down there on Tom's uncle Silas's farm in Arkansas. The frost was working out of the ground, and out of the air, too, and it was getting closer and closer onto barefoot time every day. And next it would be marble time, and next mumbly peg, and next tops and hoops, and next kites, and then right away it would be summer, and going in a-swimmin'. It just makes a boy homesick to look ahead like that and see how far off summer is. Yes, and it sets him to sighing and saddening around, and there's something the matter with him, he don't know what. But anyway, he gets out by himself and mopes and thinks, and mostly he hunts for a lonesome place high up on a hill in the edge of the woods and sets there and looks away off on the big Mississippi, down there reaching miles and miles around the points where the timber looks smoky and dim, it's so far off and still. And everything's so solemn, it seems like everybody you've loved is dead and gone. And you most wished you was dead and gone, too, and done with it all. Don't you know what that is? It's spring fever. That's what the name of it is. And when you got it, you want it. Oh, you don't quite know what it is you do want, but it just fairly makes your heart ache. You want it so. It seems to you that mainly what you want is to get away. Getting away from the same old tedious things you're so used to seeing and so tired of, and set something new. That is the idea. You want to go and be a wanderer. You want to go wandering far away to strange countries where everything is mysterious and wonderful and romantic. And if you can't do that, you'll put up with considerable less. You'll go anywhere you can go, just so as to get away, and be thankful of the chance, too. Well, me and Tom Sawyer had the spring fever, and had it bad, too. But it weren't any use to think about Tom trying to get away, because, as he said, his Aunt Polly wouldn't let him quit school and go traipsing off somewheres wasting time, so he was plenty blue. He was setting on the front steps one day about sundown talking this way, when out comes his Aunt Polly with a letter in her hand and says, "Tom, I reckon you gotta pack up and go down to Arkansas. Your Aunt Sally wants you." I most jumped out of my skin for joy. I reckon Tom would fly at his aunt and hug her head off. But if you believe me, he sat there like a rock and never said a word. It made me fit to cry to see him act so foolish. With such a noble chance as this opening up, why, we might lose it if he didn't speak up and show he was thankful and grateful. But he sat there and studied, till I was that distressed I didn't know what to do. Then he says very calm, and I could have shot him for it. "Well," he says, "I'm right down sorry, Aunt Polly, but I reckon I got to be excused for the present." His Aunt Polly was knocked so stupid and so mad at the cold impudence of that she couldn't say a word for such as a half a minute. And this gave me a chance to nudge Tom and whisper, "Ain't you got no sense? Spilin' such a noble chance as this and throwin' it away." But he weren't disturbed. He mumbled back, "Huck Finn, do you want me to let her see how bad I want to go? Why, she'd begin to doubt right away, and imagine a lot of sickness and dangers and objections. And first you know she'll take it all back. You lemme alone. I reckon I know how to work her." Now, I never would have thought of that. But he was right. Tom was always right. The levelest head I ever see, and always at himself, and ready for anything you might spring on him. But this time Aunt Polly was all straight again, and she let fly and says, "You'll be excused, you will. I will never hear the like of it in all my days. The idea of you talking like that to me. Now, take yourself off and pack your traps. And if I hear another word out of you about what you'll be excused from and what you